Hey there, do you dream of escaping into a book? Maybe your escape includes a cozy cabin in the mountains or a magical town along the coast. Either way, you're in the right place. Welcome to Literary Escapes with me, Becky. This year on the podcast, we're exploring the United States. So every week I'm going to bring you a new book set in a different state. So let's see where we're going today.
Okay, so welcome back to the Literary Escapes podcast. I am Becky and I have Alyssa Maxwell with me today. Welcome, Alyssa.
Thank you, Becky. Thanks so much for having me.
I am so excited to talk to you. I have been holding off on reading your book until it hits the book club week, and it has been really hard because your book sounds so much fun. It's exactly what I love in a book. And so I'm really excited to read it.
Great.
So from the description, it reminds me of Rhys Bowen's books a little bit. I don't know if you have read her at all. Her
Finest.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And, yeah. So I loved that series. So I know I'm going to love your series. So you are representing for the book club this week, the great state of Rhode Island.
That's right.
Yeah. So I have been through Rhode Island. I don't know that I've ever been in Rhode Island. So tell us about Rhode Island and what your relationship is with the state.
Okay. Well, it's the smallest state in the country, for one thing. So passing through, you can do that pretty quick. But there are some absolutely incredibly beautiful places in Rhode Island, and Newport, of course, being one of them. I started going there when I was right out of high school because a friend of mine moved there with her family.
Oh.
And it was immediate love at first sight, because when you come over the Newport Bridge, what you see is the Point section, which is the colonial section. So it's beautiful colonial houses. And nowadays they're all restored. Earlier in, before the 1970s, it was becoming a little dilapidated, but they've really just, done an incredible job.
Very cool.
Restoring that area. And then you also see parts of town with church spires and just that old setting, from a town that's been there for the past, 300, 400 years.
Because our country, that's really old.
That is really, really old. I mean, people started settling in Newport in the 1600s.
Holy moly. So cool.
And it really represents pretty much every time period in American history, because you have that pre-colonial, when it was, tiny little seafaring town. During the Revolution, it was occupied, and a lot of, the battles took place there. George Washington had a headquarters there. The town fell into, a depression after the war because, their industries, their shipbuilding industry and their fishing,
had
all that
was destroyed.
The merchant industry, everything. And what brought it back was Southerners who discovered that, Newport is a wonderful place to summer. When in the South there was malaria and all kinds of, problems like that, encephalitis from the mosquitoes. So they started coming to Newport. They brought it back. It was a beautiful, very pastoral environment. They didn't build mansions. They stayed very simply. They enjoyed that. They enjoyed,
life and
picnicking
Newport.
And being outdoorsy. Civil War ended that. And then, 20 years later, the Gilded Age, the industrial,
The Gilded Age when the Vanderbilts and the Astors,
exactly,
is that when they settled there and made
they
it
did. And,
the
and
place
they
that
started,
we think about?
Right. That's the most, I think, visible and memorable part of Newport are those mansions. And, Bellevue Avenue, which is where pretty much most of them are situated, was just kind of the back and beyond of the island. Nothing was down there, but they started building small.
Okay.
Mrs. Astor built her Beechwood about mid-century. But a lot of the houses were just, very nice, but Victorian style houses. those were knocked down, a lot of them. And that's, you know, that's when they started building things like the Breakers and Marble House and Ochre Court, you know, and just these incredibly lavish houses. Although, you know, I say huge, and they're really not as huge as some other properties you might find, because they were summer houses.
These were not.
And everybody had their own, so you didn't even need guest rooms for the most part. You needed servants. And maybe, a few guest rooms here and there. But otherwise, yeah, it's just everybody flocked there, their own house.
I love it. How fun. I was poking through your website, which I think everybody should do. The section that has, I think it's people and places, is absolutely fascinating. I spent way too long on there.
Oh, good.
And I really want to visit Rhode Island now.
Yeah.
I think, and visit everything that you mentioned. I think that would just be so fascinating.
It really is. And I wish I could have done that for every book. It got very time consuming.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it also would have been such a huge section on my website that, you know, I left it with the first four books.
Okay. It's amazing all the history that's there, like you were saying. I think that's just fascinating.
Yeah, it was a time in our history that was really unlike any other, except maybe now, because that kind of wealth has seemed to be, you know, cycling back.
Right.
But, you know, and it wasn't just the wealth, it was the craftsmanship, you know, and the artistry that went along with it. Their money, you know, yes, it was decadent and they stepped on the poor and you know, there was a lot of unfairness in that time, but they also, you know, spurred some really beautiful architecture and art. And
like Vanderbilt, I'm sure there's a lot of controversy and, you know, within that family as far as their luxury and how they treated people, but they also built a lot of libraries and
philanthropic.
And
the things that interested them, but I don't know how much thought went into their workers, especially the ones lower down on the ladder.
I was looking at your website, it was saying that I think it was Cornelius Vanderbilt died with $100 million, and which at any point in time is a lot of money, but that was in like the late 1800s. And in today's value, it's like $3 billion. I was like, okay, I need to see what that translates to. And $3 billion is like so out there. It's such a ridiculously large number, and that puts the luxury, the extravagance in a little different perspective.
That's why they could do the things that they did, the outrageous things that they did, you know, including spending thousands of dollars on a single dress.
I can't even imagine that,
an entire wardrobe of dresses every summer you couldn't wear them. So
and they may or may not wear them. I can't even imagine that. So how did you become an author?
Wow. I've always written. I loved to write as a kid. So I was always doing something in terms of writing, whether it was, you know, home in my room, you know, diaries and letters and stories, or at school. If I could write my way through a test, I tended to do very well. but, you know, I didn't really know how to get started writing a book, because it's a bigger undertaking than maybe some people think. A lot of people think, oh, I could do that. But, you know, it's very hard to get your focus and your perspective and your voice.
Even if you have a really good idea and you write it down, it's maybe like a page. It's not a book.
Right.
I've discovered that.
It's quite a job. But I had a friend who I worked with. We worked at a reference publishing company. So I was at least in some kind of literary field at the time. And she published her first Harlequin romance just out of the blue. She didn't tell anybody.
Wow.
Until it was being published. And I told her, you know, I love to write, but I don't know how to get started. So she just like put me under her, you know, she wrapped me under her wings. And
I love that.
Brought me to her critique group and her writers chapter of the Romance Writers of America at the time. That's what I was writing, was historical romance. And it just, it evolved from there.
That is so cool.
If not for that friend, I don't know how I would have gotten started.
That's one of the things I love about the industry and authors in particular. They are so generous with their knowledge. That's what I have found coming into this. And there isn't the sense of competition and I can't help you because then you'll be better than me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's, there's a recognition that readers love a lot of authors and, you know, you don't have to, they don't only stick to one author.
They don't. So. No, I know. It's funny. People say, well, you're training your competition and it just doesn't even, it's not even in the mindset that that's
agreed. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I'm grateful for that community as well. So I think that's really cool. So when did you steer off into the mystery part?
I had a bunch of books published in romance, historic romance, but I had always had a pretty strong thread of suspense or mm-hmm. you know, mystery or something like that going on in my romances. So just kind of like,
that's cool.
So it kind of
evolved naturally.
Mm-hmm. Like I like plot. And in romance, that's not always a mm-hmm. great thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's more introspective. It's more about the emotions. So it was just kind of a natural progression. And then I realized, well, Newport, you know, why am I not writing books set in Newport? So that was...
Did you live in Newport for some time or just visit or...
After I, you know, started going there for a couple of years, I met my husband. And he is from an old Newport family.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Yeah, like generations and generations. Nice. We recently found his great, great, great grandparents' grave in the common burying ground in Newport.
Wow.
We had looked for it so many times, we could never find it.
And finally, last trip, we
just like, oh, there it is.
Yay. Okay.
So, yeah. So, like, I'm not just a tourist when I go to Newport. You know, I know the family, there's a lot fewer of them now, unfortunately, but you know, when we first were married, his parents and brothers and sisters and you know, most of them lived there, or they were in and out frequently, and so were we. You know, we didn't live there for very long after we got married,
okay,
but we were, you know, always in and out. And even awesome. Now I live in Florida, but we go up every year at least once.
Yeah, that's awesome. How exciting.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with the books or anything, but I live in Florida as well, and we get hurricanes that come through here, as mm-hmm. I'm sure you well know. Is Rhode Island like that? Do they ever get, I mean, being a coastal area?
They can. I mean, if something veers off from us and heads north, they're definitely susceptible to that. Yeah,
flooding. I don't think I've ever heard of like Newport being affected, it's not been on my radar either.
It's not a devastating event all that often, but the hurricane of 38, everyone talks about the hurricane of 38 just leveled all the beach areas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Took down
to look that up now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really bad.
Interesting. Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about Murder at the Breakers, because that's mm-hmm. the book that we are featuring in the book club. And it starts the Gilded Newport Mystery Series, which it looks like there's a good chunk of books in that.
Yeah, there will be 12 by August, and I'm writing more.
That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, and I have not run out of ideas or houses.
I love that.
The desire to write them is still strong.
That is phenomenal. So tell us about Murder at the Breakers.
Well, it introduces my sleuth, Emma Cross, who is a Vanderbilt from her father's side, going back all the way to the first Cornelius. She's a descendant of one of his daughters.
Okay.
And because he didn't believe in leaving a lot of money to his daughters, I mean, he did leave them a few $100,000 each, I think it was. But by the time Emma's generation comes along, that's been depleted.
Didn't last too long,
She's not a rich person. But when her relatives come to Newport, they like her and they invite her. And so she does have insight into their world. You know, she is somewhat accepted, although a lot of their peers, you know, kind of do look down on her.
I'm sure,
But she's also, like my husband, Newport born and bred on her mother's side, you know, an old Newport family. So she has that very Newport work ethic. And she says she gets her strength from the bedrock of Aquidneck Island. And she works as a journalist. Okay. Now in Murder at the Breakers, we'll see her as a fashions and fancies columnist. So she goes around and she reports about all the parties and picnics and soirees and the balls, which she does a good job, but she's not happy.
Of course, sure.
You know, of course, we know our heroine sleuth is not going to be happy relegated to that. And she would like to be a real news reporter. So we see her struggle with that, you know, with the, that, you know, wanting to go deeper. And then when the murder happens and her half-brother Brady is accused, well, nobody's going to tell her that she can't at least quietly investigate this murder.
Right.
So she does.
Nice. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And another thing that makes it, you know, feasible that she would do this is that if a murder happened at the mansions, well, these people have a lot of political sway. So if they tell the higher ups, you know,
nothing
we don't want
this
investigation to happen, chances are it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to accuse a Vanderbilt in
exact
time frame of anything.
Probably not. There would have to be a lot of witnesses.
Yeah. And even then it would be a challenge, I would think. So
yeah, they could suddenly disappear into Europe somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty easily, probably.
Yeah. They all had a yacht. Everybody had a yacht.
Jeez. So crazy. So I saw also on your website that this book is a Hallmark movie.
It will. Yes, it is. It will be on. Well, by the time
this comes out, it will have aired. But
in February, it premiered February 2nd, and then it repeats a few days that same week, and then a little bit later in the month, and then after that, I'm sure you know it'll probably go on their rotation. But I
that
don't know
is so exciting. How did that happen?
So exciting. Well, when I first, published that first book, I was a little worried that the Preservation Society of Newport County might not be thrilled that I'm setting murders in their houses. Now, I, you know, legally it was fine because I'm using them in their historical context.
Mm-hmm.
But the book came out and they just embraced it. They have embraced the series and they carried them all in all their gift shops around Newport.
Oh, that's so fun.
And the executive director on this project, his name is James Walsh, lives in Rhode Island, at least part time. He happened to tour the Breakers one day before the pandemic and he saw the book in the gift shop.
Nice.
So I thought, you know, I've been looking for something that set in Newport. Specifically for Hallmark. So he bought it, he read it, and he contacted my agent. And here it is, it's, you know, a number of years later, this was pre-pandemic that this started.
That is so fun. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love how organically that happened. And I don't
it
know
really,
if that's
really
normal.
There was nothing we did to pursue.
Yeah.
It.
That is,
you know,
so
we
much fun.
We had actually heard some nibbles before. But this was the first really, you know, significant, they optioned the book and.
Well, congratulations. That's a big,
thank you.
That's a really big deal. So that's really fun.
It's like a dream. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would be cool if they like made a series of it.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, gives the possibility of maybe they will.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. It seems like Emma is a good character to do a series with. So
yeah, she fits the bill in a lot of senses. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a nice girl, even though she's headstrong and willful and determined to get her way. She's still a very nice girl.
Yeah. And I mean, you want willful
Hallmark
and strong
viewers.
And yeah,
right. Hallmark viewers appreciate that, I think.
Yeah. And so does Hallmark have a separate mysteries channel, or is it all the same?
No, they do. They have their Movies and Mysteries channel.
Very cool.
So it will be on that.
Mm-hmm. That is very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Well, very cool. And so you are working on book number 12 now. Is that what you said?
It's been, I put it to bed. So it's with my publisher now, and it will come out on August 20th.
Very exciting. And so are you already writing the next one then?
No, actually, I'm writing a book in my other series. I'm writing, it's A Lady and Ladies Made Mysteries. This one is set in England post-World War I. So I'm finishing up another book in that series. Yeah, number 9.
And is that in London area or?
No, it's in the Cotswolds, in a small fictional town, you know, a very country house, a lot of country house type scenarios in the series.
That's fun. Yeah. And what time frame is that set in? That's the teens?
It starts in 1918, like the very minute the war has ended.
Okay.
And now in 1922.
Okay. That's a fun time frame to write about. Yeah, so, well, yeah.
Very, very upheaval kind of time. You know, the society was really changing in women's roles. You know, the war just changed a lot of things for them. You know,
for sure. Yeah. So your Newport series, it starts in the late 1800s. Where time-wise, where are you at now?
It starts in 1895 and I'm in 1902.
Okay.
With the next book.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Vinland. Yeah.
I was curious if the Titanic was going to play into it, but you're not there yet.
That would be a lot of books in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, some of Emma's relatives. Oh, no. You know, I was thinking Alfred Vanderbilt, he did not die in the Titanic. He easily could have because he was booked.
But Mr. Astor was on there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alfred Vanderbilt died later on the Lusitania, though, ironically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How curious.
Yeah. I know. Huh.
That's so interesting. I love it.
It's a fascinating time period, and there's a lot of information available about it.
Yeah. And I like that, like, a lot of these houses are open to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that makes my job a lot easier.
Well, yeah. I mean, the families, you know, are sharing their history with us, which I think is pretty amazing. So
mm-hmm. there's most of those houses were just donated to the Preservation Society.
That's got to be a lot for the Preservation Society to keep up.
It is, but they have millions of visitors every year.
Good.
So that's, you know.
Yeah, that's what they do.
That's a large part of where their money comes from, and donations and all of that. And we might as well just say it. I think probably Julian Fellows is helping in a big way right now.
Nice. That's awesome.
I would imagine, you know, because they're doing so much filming in Newport at those mansions. So,
right.
You know.
Right. That's, doesn't hurt anybody, does it? So were they able to film your movie in the house, or?
No, they did not. They didn't film in Newport. They filmed in Victoria, BC.
Okay.
Up in Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, in areas that are similar. They have a similar, you know, atmosphere, seaside. They used a stand-in house for the Breakers. In fact, I just posted about that this morning.
Fun. Okay.
For the movie. And
oh,
I just,
very cool. Okay.
The link to the house. It's called Hatley House.
Nice.
In Victoria. Beautiful.
That's really cool. It's nice that there's options for that kind of thing. So, yeah.
I know. I think the purists may, you know, be disappointed, but the focus is more on the story and the mystery rather than.
Right. Yeah. And the houses are there if you want to go visit. So,
exactly.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, Alyssa, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a really fun conversation. I've really enjoyed hearing about Newport and Rhode Island and Emma Cross. I think it's all pretty cool.
Thank you, Becky. This has been fun.
Yeah. And if you're not in the book club yet, there'll be a link in the show notes where you can come join us and pick up this month's or this week's book, Murder at the Breakers, set in Newport, Rhode Island. And we'll see you in the Facebook group then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining me today. If you'd like to be part of the Read Across the U.S. Book Club, I'd love to have you join us. There is a link in the show notes So just head down there and click, and we will welcome you in. So see you in the book club, I hope. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week with a new episode.